Hi, Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the 2MEX episode. A little background information on 2MEX. He's been in a lot of dope OG LA groups in the past, such as Shapeshifters, The Visionaries, as well as OMD of Mexican descent. This dude is very prolific and I look up to him a lot. One thing that stands out about the episode is when he was talking about his DMT experiences, which I found fascinating, even being a sober guy. So I hope you enjoy. Thank you. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. He's from the OG groups Shapeshifters, Visionaries, OMD of Mexican descent. Please welcome 2MEX.
You can clap too? I mean,
it's been a while. Thanks for coming, man.
It's all love, dude.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. It's always good seeing you.
Bro, you and the dog, man. The dog licked my hand.
Man, I'm so happy to have you. I have to have all the real heads on here. We had Eli, Mestizo.
Oh, Mestizo,
he's like my brother. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I love JJ, man.
So, and then finally we have you. Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm here, bro.
I looked up to you and Gino back in the, I mean, I learned a lot from you guys because I worked at Amoeba and then I drove Gino home a couple times, you know, when you lived down there.
Yeah, yeah.
When it I was first, you and D-Ski lived together.
Yep, in Baldwin Hills.
Yeah.
Windsor Hills, yeah.
And then you guys did a lot of work.
Oh, yeah. I ended up living there. I mean, D-Ski still lives there, but I ended up, that's all good.
Oh, he lives there still?
No, I lived there for a good, like, 13 years.
Damn.
Gino lived like the first three, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he went away. We had another dude. But yeah. Oh, yeah. Those first 3 years with me, Gino, and D-Ski.
Damn.
And dude, remember Life Rexall from the Shapeshifters?
Yeah.
Dude,
he lived there too. Well,
lived with us for a while.
Yeah, because I was drunk one night because I drove Gino home. And I wanted to thank you because you guys let me crash out. You don't remember.
Yeah,
you don't remember.
No, I remember.
But I was in the kitchen. Then
on that little,
futon. Yeah, and then he didn't really know me that well.
Yeah,
so he kept
like,
he was like, he kept looking over like, what's this fool? Because, you know, was acting like, I was like,
oh, no, you're good.
Drunk.
But there
and
was
stuff.
A point there where that house had three studios.
Wow.
Gino was in his room.
Yeah.
With a razor blade, cutting weed. Also, finally, because he was broke. So he had never seen a dude take a fucking razor blade and like cut the smallest bowls allowed and shit. He could turn a 20 of
prolific,
sack of weed.
Prolific, though. Prolific. Oh, you too.
He's the inventor of Cuddy.
Yeah,
in the crev and shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the crevicle.
How many albums you guys both have put a lot of albums
at this
out.
Point now?
How many?
I got 24 albums, and then
that's
I got three
up.
Or four
that's
coming. Yeah, so
jeez, I'm so happy.
Man.
I'm so happy you're
rapping,
still doing
bro.
It.
Oh yeah, man, you got it, man.
Because it makes me like, I'm like, okay, they're still doing it, and. You know what I'm saying? Because
I quit.
I'm like, there ain't nobody checking out my stuff.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
We all go through those periods where you're like...
Frustrated, dude.
I remember many a friend always being like, man, if by December, if my shit's not cracking by Christmas, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And fools would just quit or like, I mean, dude, sometimes life is more important, man. You got to you gotta get yourself right or people get married.
They get a lady.
All the, you know,
that's what's up.
Or they get
a
job, dude. I've gotten a certain job that put me out the game for like a minute because I was working on weekends or whatever.
In the 90s?
In the late 90s, there was a time where I worked at, remember Pink Dot?
Remember Pink Dot? On Melrose?
Yeah, well, they had a delivery service, and me and Cholo.
Oh, like, Pink Dot, the delivery service.
Yeah, no, it's the same. On Sunset. Yeah, no. Well, it's the same one, but they had an office for the food that answered the phone calls.
Oh.
They had an office on Pico in La Cienega.
Oh.
And you call, and people would be like, you know, hi, this is Pink Dot, like Venice, Santa Monica, the one on Hollywood. They probably only had like 4 or 5 at the time.
Damn.
And we were the little phone operator, but dude, that job was 6 p.m. to 3 a.m.
Damn.
So there was a whole period of time where, like, you know, you're like not going out.
Yeah,
as much,
yeah,
you're
yeah.
Like a job or, you know, whatever life, yeah. You know?
I want to get into the history. Like, how did you get into rapping and the culture and everything? Are you from
super
LA?
Fan, yeah.
Yeah.
I was born in East LA. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was born in East Los at USC Medical. And then, you know, I grew up in Mid City on La Brea and La Brea, Washington. And I just grew up, man, like, you know, MTV baby.
Yep.
So I watch Sugar Hill Gang. I mm-hmm. watch Run DMC, Slick Rick, mm-hmm. Beastie Boys, LL Cool J, all that, what they call the golden era of hip hop.
Rest in peace, man. MCA, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
They're one of my favorites. So.
Dude, yeah, the Beastie Boys are the best, man. Yeah. They were dope. They were super dope, man. They went from a punk rock group to like hip hop, to then they grew into being a little deeper and
I tripped out with like seeing them live. I was tripping out on them.
Yeah, dude. And that Mixmaster Mike.
Yeah, yeah. I was tripping out. Yeah. Yeah.
Now rest in peace, man. The Beastie Boys were always. There was a time where I right when Grand Royal Records.
I remember that, out, and then the extra large.
Yep.
Yep.
I was my boy Tick. I don't even know Tick. Shout out to Tick. He was the A&R at Grand Royal.
Mm-hmm.
And man, we were, you know.
Damn.
As a LA kid, we see everything. We saw the labels. Mm-hmm. We saw the record labels. We saw the homies getting signed.
Mm-hmm.
We seen some success, some not success. And, you know, the industry and stuff. I worked for the industry in the late 90s because I wanted to know how a record got put out.
Oh, you were in the.
I worked at Columbia. I had Columbia Records. DreamWorks. I worked at Relativity.
When was this? I didn't know that.
94.
What?
94 to 99. Like, cause I used to be at the Good Life rapping.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was a homie that was passing out cassettes and records at Relativity Records. And then I was like, how do you do that? You know, you'd give me stickers and you pass them out. And I was like, how does a record come out? So I started interning Volume 10 had got signed to Immortal Records.
Okay.
And Immortal Records has something to do with Cypress Hill and House of Pain.
Oh, I'm a big fan.
At that time, I was like, Cypress Hill.
Oh,
like,
dude.
I thought B-Real was Mexican. You know, yeah, yeah. I was like, yo, he's as Mexican as fools. You know
that
what I mean?
That first album was, woo.
Oh, fire. It was the most fire thing on earth. So I wanted to, you know, I started interning at record labels, finding out how shit got put out. And then eventually a couple labels like Columbia Records and Jive, different record labels would
That's
hire
sick.
Me to
yeah.
do street promo. You know, I was one of those kids out there, like putting out stickers in the middle of the night, dude.
Wow.
I was never a graffiti guy, but dude, I would be on the 10 freeway on Robertson, like putting up at 4 a.m. making the letter A out of AZ stickers. You know what I mean? Or like,
how old were you back then?
I mean, this I was already a- when I was doing that. I was already in my those are my early 20s.
Wow, man! Wow. Yeah, man. So when'd you start doing your own music and your equipment? Like
how did I start making music?
Yeah, the equipment and stuff.
I started when I graduated from high school. I was already going to high school with like Will I Am from Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, you did?
Palisades. I went to Pacific Palisades.
You did?
Yeah, dude. I was.
That's nice.
I got bust out. Yeah, my mom did the whole. For all you Mexican people, you know about this. Your mom can do the whole fake address thing. You know what I mean? Like, my mom did a fake address, like, if she worked at Brentwood.
Oh.
So then I went to, so for 7th and 8th grade, I went to school in the hood on Fairfax and 18th Street. But then 9th grade, they gave us an opportunity to go to other schools, and my mom did the fake address hustle.
Damn.
And next thing you know, I'm in Pacific Palisades. Well,
what was that like?
It was cool because the school was so far away that my parents couldn't come, they couldn't come see me when I got in trouble.
Shit. Yeah.
So you could just get in trouble and, like, have, like, your homegirl. You know, I'd have my homegirl call like she was my mom and shit.
That's what's up. Yeah.
That was cool. But I went to Palisades with, like I said, Will I Am was there. Ahmad, you know, remember Ahmad?
Yeah, I wish Ahmad I was a little was bit tall. Yeah.
No, that was Skilo.
Oh, that was Skilo?
Ahmad was. Back in the days.
Yeah. Okay. I was thinking about someone else.
Yeah, no, Ahmad was there. Yeah. Fucking, dude, homies from LMFAO were there. Steph, all these like people that kind of were caring about music.
Yeah.
So right after high school, like I told myself I was gonna try it, and so I started. You know, Mexican descent we started with me and some friends.
Ozolo Zanzico?
We are started before Dan. We even met Danny. And then somebody from LA High School was like, you need to meet Render from MCA. You know, he was a graffiti writer at the time. They're like, he's the dopest Mexican rapper in LA High School.
Oh, and he already had the rap like that? Oh, dude,
Danny was already, this fool was dressed like LL Cool J when he was 14. Oh, damn. This fool had a Kango.
So he was already in it.
He was in it. And he was already freestyling and shit. So then I met Danny, and Danny was like on some like, Danny could already rap. So he was just like, play me something. So you play him like, you know, I play him a cassette of me rapping over a beat. And he was like, this is kind of cool. He's like, let me play you something. He's like laying on the couch with his girl.
Yeah.
He's like, let me play you something. And then he like plays him freestyling and rapping and shit. And I was like, and he was like, I don't want to be in your group of Mexican descent, but I'll practice with you. And so we just started practicing together. And then he fused into, that group had four people, and then it was him. So it was five of us. Five went to four. Four went to three. And eventually it was me, Danny, and a DJ for a minute.
Damn.
And then the DJ was married.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife was on some like, you'll never, this shit's, you know, his wife was kind
of. Just hating on it, kind
of? Yeah, like, oh, his man. Wife was like, dude, she kind of regretted it later in life because later, like years later, she's like, y'all actually did it. Y'all actually went around the world. I was like, yeah, I told you. We tried. Like, So he kind of bowed out because the lady, you know, dude, when you're married and you have kids, that shit is way more important than hip hop. Taking care of your kids, job, paying your bills. That's you got real. A lady. Hip hop is awesome and fantasy and bitches and all this shit. It don't matter, bro. Like, if you're a grown up and you got kids, you got shit to do. So I could always respect our first DJ Gonzo for kind of bowing out. And then me and Danny just clicked.
Damn,
after that.
Yeah.
And me and Danny went all over the. We did everything, man. That led to the Visionaries and all the other.
So it was first OMD, then Visionaries, then Shapeshifters.
Mexican Descent was my first.
So that's in the 90s?
Yep, that was Mexican Descent started in 92, and then. We were doing our thing, and then I met the Visionaries in 95. I met Redmatic through Rocka from Dilated Peoples.
Oh, that's what's up. Yeah.
We used to go on Fairfax and Melrose. We used to go up there, and this famous graffiti writer named Hex,
mm-hmm.
he had the hip-hop shop, and it was like...
It was on Melrose, right?
Right across
I remember
the
street
from
that,
Fairfax
dude.
High.
Yeah, they sold Dickies and pens and shit. Yeah. I worked at Jamba Juice on Melrose.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, remember the Jamba Juice?
Yeah,
I worked there.
Oh, yeah. We were always on Melrose. Nonstop and then
the Coffee Bean later.
Workman. Dude, I would go to there was that comic book shop. There's like a comic book shop I would pick up comics. There's another little record store that had all the like. I was really into British New Wave and shit.
I like that too. I like English Beat and the Specials, all that.
That's my shit.
Yeah.
I love what they call the New Romantics. All that. Cheers, Smiths.
That's the best.
That emo shit. That's a dopest song.
Depeche Mode
too.
I mean, I love Depeche Mode too.
I saw Depeche Mode at Dodger Stadium. It was fucking hard. So yeah, just shit like that. But the hip hop shop that led us to like somebody giving that was a place to go rap. Like he had a. Dude, he had a microphone booth, right? He had a DJ, and then he fenced off like a batting cage. You had this batting cage that you had to step into. You had to like get into it like a kind of like a wrestling thing.
Yeah.
And you were in this batting cage. And
that was a vocal booth?
And if you go in there, that's where you had to rhyme. So it was really dope because we would be like, I want to rhyme in front of people. So you go to this
thing. You had to go into the chamber.
And then that's where people started rapping. And you know, once I got out of high school, we just try to make. The thing with my group of Mexican descent was that every single time we rapped anywhere at a house party or anything, there was always somebody from the first time we ever rapped in a backyard party, somebody was trying to manage us or sign us.
So it was
like we just had this very crazy luck where at the beginning when we were
you had help.
We always had like,
wow.
Yeah.
Who made the beats? Who produced for you guys?
At first, you want to hear the crazy shit?
Yeah,
bro, when I was 17 is DJ Khalil. Who produced the?
Why does that sound Jay-Z, so familiar?
50 Cent, Self Scientific.
How did you meet him?
We had a homie, an actor. I went to high school with my homie Arif Kinchin, who's like a voiceover actor. ASK, they call him ASK, the Rhyme Scheme, and he was the first rapper that I ever. He's one of my best friends, and he was one of the first rappers that I ever seen have a notebook. Like he literally had a notebook of rhymes. Like he was like political raps, and it was like fucking fight the power of shit.
Yeah. No one wrote back then?
No, no. But when I was 16, I never seen like a buddy of mine have a big ass notebook
just filled with
of rhymes. Like, yeah, yo, these are my party rhymes. Like he wasn't, you know what I mean? He was in the movie. He was like an extra in the movie House Party with Kid and Play.
I remember that. Yeah.
So then like he was ready. He taught me a lot about organizing or like getting your shit straight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I like started writing rhymes like crazy and like organizing them and putting them in notebooks. And Cholo Lancinco was, he was such a better rapper than me when we both started or when I started because he was such a good freestyler. So I kind of jumped in between that and the Good Life Cafe.
You just jumped into
some of the best rappers.
Yeah, but he had some crazy styles too. Well, he was unorthodox. Like even listening to him, he's different. He was different.
And there's a lot of jazz and you know, fusion and stuff. Original, like, you know, that's the thing. Like we went from like wanting to rap. I knew how I rapped when I first started rapping, and then you were immediately exposed to Freestyle Fellowship, CVE, Hip Hop Clan, Jurassic 5, all this. You know what I mean? And we walked in already, kind of trying to be. Like not your typical Mexican,
right?
We never wanted to rap over salsa or old school shit like that. We wanted to be outside the box.
Yeah.
And so Daniel,
who's wrong back then? Lighter Shade of Brown was popping though.
Lighter Shade of Brown was already out. Yeah. Kid Frost and the Latin Alliance.
There was
Mexican rappers. Mm-hmm. The first wave of Chicano rap, I wasn't big into it in the sense of. Like kind of like Lighter Shade of Brown that was like barbecue. Like, we're at the barbecue.
They had a single, right, on MTV.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. It was called
Sunday Afternoon. Yeah, Sunday Afternoon. Yeah.
And I just, even Kid Frost with La Raza, you know, like.
That was a hard-ass song.
Yeah. But like the gang, the typical, like, the original kind of Chicano rapper was kind of showing that gangster life.
Yeah.
I wasn't like that. I was a little church boy. So, for me, I couldn't relate. And I was kind of anti-gang.
Yeah.
So I was a little church boy. So I didn't relate to the first wave of Chicano hip hop. I was already, by the time Kid Frost and Lighter Shade of Brown came out, I was already like listening to some other shit that was like more like KRS-One and X Clan and Poor Righteous Teachers. I was already listening to
I remember they were tight.
Yeah, Poor Righteous Teachers was super hard. Remember what was their
Rock this funky joint. That beat was tight.
The teacher. His style was so.
You know,
like,
you're the first person to bring that. Like, no one really talks about those groups.
Wise Intelligent.
Yeah.
I was very influenced by Wise Intelligent.
X Clan,
Brother Jay.
Yeah.
I was influenced, even though I was the most influential, I was influenced by Grand Poobah from the Brand Nubians.
I'm still a fan of that. Yeah.
Grand Poobah was like, to me, he was the dopest MC because in 16 to 24 bars, he's going to give you revolutionary shit.
Yeah.
He's going to give you Muslim shit. He's going to tell you that he likes big girls with big asses.
Yeah.
He's going to tell you that he's the best MC and he serves all the rappers. So he was like doing every, in one verse, he's going to make it funny. He's going to talk some 5% nation shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And so to me, I was fascinated by people that can just provide a lot of information in a short thing.
Yeah, their second album, Brand Nubian, tripped me out. The intro, that was a trippy album.
Well, yeah, they started with the prayer.
Yeah.
And then they have Grand Poobah on the second album. So
yeah, that album was hard.
Oh, Punks Jump Up. Yeah, that album was hard. That, you know what? That song would actually be a ginormous underground. It's a classic.
No one talks about that.
I'm gonna tell you why.
Yeah, nobody talks about that. Yeah, hell yeah.
Because we live in a. Because unfortunately. We all know that in the 80s and the early 90s, you could still say the word faggot in a song and it would not, they just edit it. But in the world that we live in now, if you listen to that song, you know, one day when I was riding on the train to see these two kids talking, and homie's like, you know,
that the Nubian said, rain had fallen.
It's kids got my goat like a murder that they broke. So I get them on a swagger and I can make the man out the world drop hammer. I'm a bad man. Just bam, bam. We're black. And when it comes to dropping bombs, yo, I'm with that. Yo, I can freak, flop, flow, fuck up a faggot.
Don't
understand their ways. And I ain't down with gays. Something. So, you know, back then,
that's
like the Muslim 5%. You know, I'll give you two other examples of that. Is Dana Dane. One of the greatest Dana, you know Dana Dane, right?
Yeah.
Dana. His other hit was called Nightmares. And it was, dude, they used to play it on K-Day every hour, and it was like a fucking 6-minute song that they would play every hour. But that song also, it doesn't have staying power because in that song it says, you know.
Yeah, you can't, you know, so you're saying you can't do that now.
No, well, I'm saying that some of the language that was used in some classic rap songs, because they're like, they say faggot, yes, or they're kind of homophobic.
Or hate speech.
They kind of, well, it's, yeah, like, at the time, I mean, it was, everybody has their own opinion.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, coming from this Muslim stance, you know, yeah, Jamaican, like, you know, Jamaican, like, MCs are like, Bati Boy, this and that, mm-hmm, you know what I mean? So there was this whole kind of, that's your opinion on shit. But those songs, a lot of those songs never transferred into now times where, like, you hear gangster songs, but you're not going to hear a song like that because it says that. You get me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, yeah, those are, yeah, the little, dude, those are the little reasons. I mean, I'm going to give you an example, man. In the 80s, All Day and Night on the Radio was a dope-ass song by, do you remember, if you're down with Kid Frost, do you remember Hi-C?
I think I do. Wait, give me...
Hi-C and Tony A. I'm not your puppet.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
that was in the 90s, too. Yeah. Hi-C, yeah.
And he was rapping, wow, over oldies, right?
Yeah. They looped that, huh?
Yeah, with Hi-C and Tony A.
Uh-huh.
And he was down with DJ Quick, and he was down with Second to None.
He's breaking down some history, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So Hi-C, though, but like to give you an example, like that dope ass... I'm not your puppet, right? Or like these dope ass songs, they're dope as fuck, but if you listen to them... There's like something where he's like, you know, you're smoking crack, you know, like, you know, 15-year-old girl smoking crack and now she's selling her ass, you know, for fucking crack. And they're trying to tell real stories.
Yeah.
But in the telling of real street stories, you know, you know, homies, you know, there's a verse where he's saying like, me and my homie both fuck this crackhead 15-year-old, you know what I mean? Like,
it's just crazy.
So you can't say that now, but back then you were like, and you know she was fucking me and my homie.
That's like reality rap, like real.
I mean, it's real, but like we don't know, like you didn't know in the 90s that saying a word like fag or something like that was gonna fucking mean that your song is not getting sold 20 years later. You don't, those thoughts.
Okay, I'm getting what you're saying now.
PC. PC, so that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so,
that's interesting. Interesting.
I've done little things like that where I'll be like, man, why isn't this song blowing up? And then I'm like, oh, because he's talking about.
He said that, yeah.
You know, you're like, you know, it's like, you ever heard the Stray Cats? Remember the Stray Cats?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Stray Cats. Yeah. Well, dude, their third single on their first album was called Sexy and 17. Well, she's sexy and 17, my little rock and roll queen.
So it's like, you can't do that now.
But back then,
you could just do that.
You could just say, like, wow, she's a teenage runaway and shit, whatever, but.
God, it's different now, huh? You're making me realize now, like, the state of music and, like, what are your thoughts on
politics?
Yeah, what are your thoughts
today
on what's out right now? Because you've been around throughout the whole thing.
A lot of music that's out right now, I mean, there is some brilliant work out there. There's some good, beats and productions are on a new level.
Yeah.
I think the lyricism is garbage, though. You know what I mean? I think the new generation of rappers, these so-called mumble rappers or the littles or whatever they want to call them.
Yeah. There's a lot of littles,
there's
huh?
There's a lot of littles, bro.
Yeah.
There's a little every. It's mm-hmm. a little too much for me. Mm-hmm. But you know what I mean? Why can't we grow up, bro? It's been 40 years. Why you gotta be the little? But no, I mean, to be honest, lyrically, kids don't read books. Kids don't even graduate high school. Kids have no concept of digging for critical thinking. And then more importantly than anything, kids don't know or respect the generation that came before them. Because of social media and the way that we live now, kids do not... I can't be mad that kids don't know who De La Soul is. I can't be mad that kids have never heard Midnight Marauders. I can't be mad at that. But at the same time, the fact that kids have no sense of history means that, of course, they're not going to respect anything. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
because
yeah.
They were never born... With it in their stream, you know, and we live in a world of distractions with social media that is so deep. I mean, all of us, dude, all of our lives, this is way bigger than music, than rap. We're so distracted and we're so such slaves to our phones.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, it's hard to comprehend anything.
Yeah.
And it's
man.
Hard for people to, man, kids do not read books. And the other thing is that some of the people that fund some of these like little pumps and other shit, some of those same people, they also fund the prison industrial complex.
Oh, is that right?
So they're setting you up, bro, like to be real stupid from jump. So it's like if they promote ignorance, dude, and non-reading and non-education.
So they're dumbing everybody down because they're spitting real like knowledge.
Dude, why do you think real knowledge is falling off a cliff, bro? Like, no disrespect to Kendrick Lamar and shit like that. The thing that happens is that when you meet a great artist like Kendrick Lamar,
he's a good artist, man.
Oh, he's dope. They're all dope. But like the thing is like they'll point at like a Kendrick and a J. Cole and be like, you know what? Here's three or four fools that are spitting some bars.
No, they ain't no guru though. I look up.
No, I know, give you like the industry says, all right, we'll let these three or four dudes be it. When, dude, there's people
all over the world, dude.
Know? So that's the thing, man, is that there has to be, that's the big race with the internet is that, you know, even the internet man, like they will only, Facebook and Instagram will only let you even promote to a part of your, they won't give you the full range of who you are because of net neutrality. They're like, wait, you think you're going to get paid off of our platform? Even though our heart and soul is the platform.
Yeah.
The platform isn't the template that's on the internet. The platform is all of the information,
right, of
the heart. Mm-hmm. All we do, you know, I have a rap where I say, you know, all we do is videotape our own depression,
filter out
the wrinkles every day and self judgment. So all we do, we're just little cameramen. You know what I mean? All we do is constantly upload our soul and our personality into a machine.
Dude, that's deep that's stuff.
Ultimately,
yeah.
That ultimately just sells us back because it knows us so well. Because we give it everything we got into this machine. The machine knows how to set what we like.
That's what's up. Yeah.
If I like the Oakland Raiders or I like a certain band, mm-hmm. the fucking algorithm spits it all back to me at constant. I'm like, damn, just because I, you know.
Yeah,
the, you know.
Yeah, I just noticed your tattoo, the idea one too on you.
Oh yeah, man. Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace.
That guy
was
one of the greatest lyricists.
Yeah, I tripped out. I discovered him by accident.
Yeah,
at the Spaceland. Remember Spaceland?
Yeah.
So I went there, and I don't know who I was seeing. I think it was somebody else. But these guys, he was there with Slug.
Yeah, dope.
And then there's like, you know. Not saying like you can't really judge by color, you know, but I thought they were gonna do rock or something, you know.
Yeah.
But then he was rapping his ass off.
Oh, you saw him with his band or what?
I don't know. No, I didn't know what he was doing. He was just up there.
He had an improv band called Face Candy that everything they did was improv.
Or
he did like idea and abilities with his DJ abilities.
He was a great showman though. I was tripping. I'm like, who the hell was that?
He was amazing, man.
Yeah.
He passed away. I think it's been about 3 or 4 years now.
You heard of Idea Man?
Yeah, he's bad, man. His name is Michael Larson. He was a kid that when he was 17, he won a $25,000 Sprite rap battle, right? The battle rapper. And Puff, the part of the prize was you get 25 grand, and Puff Daddy signs you to a deal. And he was like, nah, I don't want the deal. I'm cool on the deal. I'll take the money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he gave my respect. I was tripping.
And he was a rap battle champion, but then he was also a great artist.
He was a good writer.
He was one of the people that helped cultivate this label called Rhymesayers that put out Atmosphere and stuff like that.
Yeah, so shout out to Atmosphere and Slug and all them. Yeah. I'm a fan of theirs.
They were signed to Epitaph Records for a little bit.
Didn't you do some stuff with them too, right?
The dude that when Epitaph was on a rant to sign underground rappers, the dude that signed Atmosphere and Idea and Sage Francis, that guy's name was Andy. That dude called me and was like, what do you think? You think I should sign Atmosphere? Like, fuck yeah. You think we should sign Idea and Ability? Out of my camp, he was looking at myself, AWOL 1, and Bus Driver.
Yeah.
And out of my camp, he signed Bus Driver to Epitaph. So cool. It was like, we didn't, like me or AWOL didn't necessarily get signed. Our music was probably like, to not like they didn't deem it to be like what they wanted or like, you know what I mean?
I love the shapeshifters. I want to get into the shapeshifters too.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so like, cause you mentioned AWOL. When did you get down with the shapeshifters?
AWOL. I love AWOL. I met Circus at the Good Life when I first started going to the Good Life.
Dude, he's one of my favorites, dude.
Yeah, dude, he's the man. So
is he okay right now? Is he doing okay?
He's going through it, bro. He's good though. He's safely at home.
Okay, good.
He was
good,
homeless
good.
For a little bit.
Yeah,
and he's actually regenerating. We're hoping he's for sure. We're doing a Shapeshifter reunion show.
When?
July 28th.
I got to go to that.
Oh, dude, a Mexican descent reunion?
Oh, dude, I got to, yeah.
Shapeshifter reunion, and then on top of that, Sick Jackin'.
Oh, dude.
So it's gonna be a wild party. It's an all-ages show at the Glass House in Pomona, July 28th.
Yeah.
But Circus, we, at the point now, LAJ and some of the Shapes, they got him home safely. And he's,
yeah.
Like, and so what they're doing, from what I know from LAJ, is that they gave him like the set, you know, like this 1 hour set.
Yeah.
And they were like, dude, learn it, man. Like, come back. So hopefully he'll be ready to rock, man. He's incredible.
But yeah. That's my dream guest. Oh,
we need to get Circus on here.
That's my
Circus.
That's AWOL. My dream guest.
Dude, the show, all the Shapes are going to be there, man. Circus, yeah. AWOL, Radio Inactive, LAJ, Akuma. Die Young, Existerio.
Ludacris?
Dr. Ludi, you're trying to find Dr. Ludi. Matt Trey.
Uh-huh. I had the Adopted by Aliens poster when I first moved to Silver Lake. I didn't know what it was, but then I got it and I like checked it out. I'm like, this is crazy.
Oh, dude, Circus is the shit, bro. Like,
yeah.
Oh, dude, his lyrics.
Planet of the Shapes.
His lyrics. Yeah. Oh, dude, his lyrics are. They're he's deep got, and funny. They're
yeah,
deep
but
and funny.
He's spitting. Oh. I mean, people think it's crazy, but I know he's spitting real stuff, right? The reptilians.
He mixes,
I learned
he
the reptilian with, thing. Like yeah, he started doing it first. I go, oh,
because he mixes the depth with the funniness, you know?
Yeah.
That way, like, he's laying all this heavy shit down on you, and then it's like, and then but he's giving it to you with a sense of humor.
Yeah. Know? How'd you meet those guys?
I met Circus at the Good Life when I first started rapping at the Good Life, and then AWOL. I met. He had sent his demo to the Visionaries record label, and then I heard his first album, and I was like, "What the?
Dude, he has a unique. He has a unique voice.
His
too.
Old album. Yeah. Yeah, he had this Daydreamer. You ever Daydreamer dreaming my life away?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
Off in space, so fuck the planet. Earth is a whack place to be.
Yeah,
fuck the world. Like, you know, his shit was so like left field.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, you know, he was all like. His shit was, so I was fascinated, man. I'm to this day, I'm a big AWOL fan. So I met both of them, and then Rob One, rest in peace. Yeah. I started kicking it with them. I started working with Life Rex. So he produced a lot of records for me. So then I just started kicking it with them, and I kind of put myself. I put myself in the group. Like, we hung out so much and toured so much and interacted musically. All of us started.
Yeah.
You know, we all interacted so much. Cause you're talking about 10 dudes. You know.
Yeah.
So we started. We all were in different groups with each other. You know, me and Life Rex all had a group called Smarter. Me and AWOL.
Do you have a thing called Chain Smokers?
Chain Smokers is Life Rex, Saw, Akuma, and Die.
Okay, yeah,
See, but then me and Die, we're all like friends. So me and Die and D-Ski are the returners. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we all had
groups within the group.
Yeah, everybody was constant. You know, me and AWOL were like the old one, too, because AWOL one, two, Max, the old one.
Yeah,
yeah. We had one, man, we had groups that never even came out, bro.
Wow.
Yeah, man. We had Circus, AWOL, me, Bus Driver, and Radio. We were called The Weather.
I'm a fan of Radio, too,
yeah,
dude.
Oh, yeah.
Radio is he still doing music?
Yeah. He's more on the engineering side.
Yeah.
He has a ginormous. He's like the one shapeshifter that made it. He's like the one rich shapeshifter.
Oh.
He made it, bro. He fucking did. He was part of American Idol. He was part of the cat, like the tech crew on American Idol for the whole existence of that show. So,
wow,
he was on Malcolm in the Middle.
Dude, good for
he
him.
He hit a bunch, like, what's up, Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
I mean, he was on, he's part of like three ginormous shows. Wow, so, like, Radio, definitely. Yeah. He
put out solo. I remember when I worked at Emil, he had solo albums in the bin there, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, everybody.
Four Tracker or something. Like,
oh, yeah, Four Tracker.
Yeah,
Pyramid-y,
I remember the cowboy picture
Pyramid-y,
of him.
Yeah, when he was a little kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that whole sorry about coughing. Yeah,
no, I'm coughing too.
Once we hit the 2000s, like once we hit the early 2000s, we had already all of us had already been making music for over a decade.
Yeah, dude.
So then all of a sudden you start finding the thing with music is, you know how now everybody's got a laptop and the studios are easier to create, right? Well, you know, we come from a time when you would have to pay for studio time and buy a Ampex 456.
Yeah.
So studios, you know, so like 10 years later after being in the game with everybody, as studios became more accessible, everybody just went and did their own. Everybody has solo records.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's like, I met some dude, you know, I would meet producers, you know, I'd meet a producer in Seattle and be like, I'm gonna make a record with this dude. You know what I mean? Like,
we
all just kind of like started doing that. So, you know, there were Shape Records, but the Shapes. See, this is the thing. With no disrespect to the Visionaries, because the Visionaries are all my brothers and shit like that, even OMD and all that. The Shapes was actually the one group I was in where we were all in the group because we were friends.
Right.
Like, the priority of, like, Visionaries was like, yo, record label, we're putting out this record. It's going to be marketed and all
that. I used to bump galleries in Arizona, you know?
Hell yeah, man. Well, Shapes is more, like, organic. Mm-hmm, Shapes mm-hmm. is everything was, like...
The way you guys created
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Oh, well, dude, a Shapeshifter song is going to... One day,
it's gonna be a lot of verses.
When you record a Shapeshifter song, you may that day that you drop your verse, you might think you were on a song with two other people, but then 5 weeks later, the song has like eight rappers,
dude. Bryce, what do you think about that? Song, eight rappers on one song.
You'd be like, who's this dude? They'd be like, oh, the fucking mailman. Yeah. The mailman, he got bars and shit. You know, the mailman raps and shit. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, the homie cousin came by. And I was like, who the fuck is this dude? Like,
that's what's missing now, man. Yeah, I know. Yeah, people don't do that. Fun, yeah.
You know? I mean, fools are just like making
It's just one dude and well, it's not that many
back
bars.
Back in the day, it was about creating content, but we weren't thinking about, you know, you're not thinking about. When you're blessed to have you and 10 of your friends kick it for a couple years together, you don't know that 10 years from now, half the dudes got kids, half the dudes don't rap no more, fools are in jail, fools got jobs, fools are in debt, fools got life. So it's like, you know, you blink, bro.
Yeah.
I blink and I'm 40. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I know, I'm tripping.
I was like, one minute I'm traveling the world, fucking bitches on a mountain, and then the next... fucking day
dude, time
like,
flies
old,
by yeah
and I'm fucked up, you know, you're like,
yeah, that's a trip. I feel like we're in an alternate universe, man. Like, we were talking before,
I feel like something, because
the people that are popping, like Tekashi 6ix9ine, I'm like, you know what I mean, like all the people that are popping, I'm like, what, Trump's president,
the youth has gravitated towards energy,
yeah,
and youth make high energy shit,
yeah,
and they don't give a fuck about the lyrics, the intellect.
That depresses me, man.
It depresses me too, and that's
that
why
really
we look like, that's
I
why we look
put a
like
lot of effort
man.
In it, man.
That's
like,
why we look like old man shaking our fists.
Yeah, yeah, it, like, I don't want to be that guy, but man,
no, do you have to be that guy? That's the thing.
It's like,
are you gonna let,
I love this stuff, man.
Dude, let me tell you, how am I gonna let a child that doesn't even know what it's like to live a life of traveling the world and blessing? How am I gonna let somebody that's never read a book dictate to me what is dope? Just because.
Exactly.
Let me tell you something.
That's a good point, man.
I'm gonna tell you something. One time I was in Paris, right? We were doing an interview in Paris at a college station. And the dude told us, look, man, the Shapeshifters, we know that y'all never sold any records. Like, we know that y'all not the type of group that sells 20,000 records or anything. But to who it's important to, your music is as important as whatever, you know? And that's the thing, man. When it comes to our culture, this is only important to who it's important to.
Right, instead of
trying to beg the universe to like what we do, let it be important to who it's important to.
That's a really good attitude, man. That's a really good, that's a good perspective.
It's not an attitude,
man,
that's going to make you a gang of money.
Yeah.
But it's the real most the realest attitude I could have about the shit, because I really just like, I can't beg. I can't beg someone to like my shit. I can only make it to the best.
That's what's up.
Because when people like it, they like it.
Bro. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
My fans got my face tatted on them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah. They're like devoted to you. Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm like, I'd rather just wait and have people that really fall into my wavelength. You know?
That's what's up, man. And like how many, so you've done, besides Visionary Shapes and OMD, you've done solo.
Yeah, yeah, I've been a gang, man. The Mind Clouders.
Dude, I remember they had a big thing, like the Shepherd Fairey thing of your... Didn't you have a thing?
We've had bunch of different things.
But you had a whole thing, like, everywhere. Like, it was like a sticker. Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was like the
Obey
Giant.
Yeah. I flipped... Somebody a long time ago flipped the Obey logo. Because, you know, Obey, 2 Megs, four letters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I look ugly, like, under the joint. My face fit into the you know, the homie that flipped it. It was a good flip.
Yeah.
So he mocked it up. And then, you know what? It was cool. I ran with that logo forever.
Yeah,
you know?
That stands out. I still remember it.
Shepherd Fairey, Obey ended up sponsoring me for a little while. Even though their clothes, I was way fatter back then. And, like, Obey clothes was, like, way too tight.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
it was
yeah,
like
yeah.
That, that it was meant for skinny motherfuckers.
Right.
I would get sponsored by Obey, but I could never wear the shirts. I would just wear a fucking hat and a wristband and
that's
shit.
That's what's up.
Because I couldn't even, I'd have to give everything away, but I was way too fat. But, you know, even in the Shepherd, the official Obey book, there's, when they do this thing of everybody that flipped his logo, mm-hmm. it's in there.
Wow.
So it's kind of dope.
Yeah, I mean,
he did, actually, Shepherd Fairley ended up doing this logo for my other record label. So Shepherd did this.
Okay, you got your own label?
Yeah, we had a label called Grim Image.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
This is Shepherd did this for us. For the,
okay, yeah, I remember on them. Flyers and stuff. Yeah.
He ended up, one of my homies worked for him and was one of the kids that would go out at night and post his shit. So
yeah.
He did this for us. So yeah, we had a little bit of ties with him, but
yeah.
It was more of a just a logo project.
That's what's up. Like you got, do you have your, like, where do you, how do you put your music out nowadays?
What I've been doing now, I was very anti-streaming and shit because I felt like it wasn't like paying and shit for a dude like me.
Like online services?
Yeah, I didn't put a lot of effort into that. Now, in retrospect, and after talking to some people that shed light on the intelligence of it, they showed me, like, I have a homie that has, like, one record out and doesn't really have a big fan base. And he's like, dude, every month I get a check from doing A, B, and C. And I'm like, dude, I have 25 records and I have a fan base. And people are constantly in my DMs like, why is your Spotify channel so terrible? Why? And because I hadn't been trying to put my shit on.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do, though, is because I have about... I have 23 albums on my Bandcamp.
Dude, 23. So you have to, wait, say that again?
23 albums on my Bandcamp. Dude, and more, man. I got a gang more coming too. But what I'm hoping to do is put everything I've ever done just in this one world.
That trips me out. That's a lot of work, dude. That's a lot of work.
I've been rapping since I was 16 and I'm 45. I don't have any kids and I'm not married.
Yeah.
So I never could have the... I always kind of had the... I never jumped off the bus to be like, yo, my broad's pregnant.
Like,
yo, I'm not making enough money to feed me and my kids, so I'm going to take a break. I've always been full-fledged, like, 1,000%. Like, there's no going back.
That's why I think we're in an alternate universe, because it's like, you have 23 albums, right? Kids are blowing up off of four songs. They do four songs.
Yeah, for sure.
Bryce, right?
Yeah.
A kid just... out the gate.
Who, Rice Gum?
I don't know. Whoever, man.
Yeah,
four songs, and then they're like world tour, you know?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, that doesn't make sense to me, dude.
Well, not that it doesn't make sense. It's just that we consume our art like it's more like microwave popcorn. You know what I'm saying? Everything's instant gratification. So everything is like, yo, we need the shit like this. And I need... Dude, I remember going to a club. Excuse me. I remember going to a club... it was dope because the DJ was spinning music videos, right? So, and he was cut, you know, so like as he touched the thing, the
that's
video,
changed too. The whole DJ world's changed too.
And so then I went up to the DJ and I said, hey, how do you place, what do you do with the video screen when you want to play a song that doesn't have a video? And he just looked at me like, I don't play songs that don't have videos. And I was like, well, what about dope ass album cuts or things that don't have videos? And he was like, I'm not playing a song if it doesn't have a flossy video. And that's just the way that shit is now.
So you're saying in order to be relevant nowadays, you have to have a dope song and a better video, like a video
out there? I'm not a great judge of what it needs to be relevant because I don't chase it.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, we live in a new existence where that's what it is. And like you said, one song might catapult you to financial success, and I think that's dope for people that can do it. You know what I mean? I don't give a fuck, like Tekashi 6ix9ine, dude, please make $100 million. I don't give a fuck, bro.
Nothing against him. I brought him up as an example because he's popping, you know?
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is make $100 million, but dude, don't make something with substance, man. Like that's what I care about.
Yeah.
We don't practice critical thinking, and if we're not practicing critical thinking, then the next generation is going to be way stupid, man.
Yeah.
I was almost going to be in that movie. You ever seen that dope ass movie by, oh man, what's that? Idiocracy. You ever seen that movie?
I didn't see that movie, bro. Oh really,
dude? I like the part that my homie Big Citric plays. He plays the big chubby Mexican dude that's like with the president. That was going to be my part, bro. I fucking went and auditioned through two or three times, but I met Mike Judge and everything. But A, I'm not a good actor, so I wasn't like I'm not a good actor. And B, my body size, they wanted that role to be a big actor.
Yeah, yeah.
I just wasn't like so my boy Citra got it, which is awesome. But like I wish I would have got that part just to be like, fool, I'm in Idiocracy, just to show you how fucking stupid this shit is.
Yeah.
Cause that's where I think we are, man. I think we're just in a world where like all the rules, there's no respect. Everybody that's older and is expecting all this respect or like respect your elders or respect the architects, we're just sitting there flabbergasted that kids are like, fuck you, I don't give a fuck about you. I got my own camera. And
yeah, they're doing their thing, yeah.
Dude, I meet people that come to this town and they're like, I can make songs in 30 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, me too. Let me see, make a song. And they'll make an album in 2 days, but it's just hot garbage. And as long as the beats are cracking, then it's accepted in the universe.
Damn.
I mean, it's just we live in that world now.
You know? Yeah, yeah. Man, so I wanted to shift over to, you were on Tinfoil Hat, right? So shout out to Ryan and Sam.
Yeah, shout out to Sam. Oh, yeah, man, I'm part of the Tinfoil Hat
yeah,
family.
Yeah, that's family right there.
Yo, dude, shout out to Felipe Esparza, too, man, all the people.
So what were you guys talking about? Like, maybe we get into some conspiracies, because going back to Circus,
well, those guys,
he hit me to the reptilian thing. Like, I believe in that,
dude,
you know?
Circus, man,
the reptilians.
The last time I seen him, he was like, freestyling and he would say a bunch of weird shit, but then he would say something beautiful. So he would say all this weird shit and then he'd be like, follow me until the unlimited continue. One day the power elite will fall at the feet of those that have the least to eat. You know what I mean? Like he'll say beautiful shit.
Yeah.
So but you know, the Shapeshifters, if you guys are interested in the Shapeshifters music, I would
check
say
them
listen
out
to What's Here mm-hmm. by the Shapeshifters. And then maybe listen to Adopted by Aliens.
Yeah, that was Planet of the Shapes.
Planet of the Shapes.
Yeah,
and it's very it's just like wild, frenetic, anti-conspiracy energy mixed with hip hop,
sci-fi too. Yeah,
yeah, very
mm-hmm.
very I mean, dude, Circus has music that's. His music is amazing, bro, and the level of it is
he's a genius.
Can I tell you about my favorite Circus song?
Yeah, yeah.
Circus has a song and it's called, he has a song called Fuck a Tow Truck, right?
I don't think I heard that
one. Oh yeah, watch it. Check this. So it's called Fuck a Tow Truck. And the whole song's about him talking about like, fuck this tow truck, man, giving me a ticket for whatever, whatever. He explains in one song how getting a parking ticket from the tow truck led to him getting a ticket, which led to him getting a warrant, which led to him having to go not paying the warrant and having a bench warrant against him, having to go to jail and then losing his car, then losing his job, and all this because of fuck a tow truck for fucking giving him the tow truck fucked him up. And after 8 minutes of Fuck a Tow Truck, the song fades out and another song starts called Fuck a Meter Maid. And it just starts, you know what I mean? And it's like,
wow.
And you start breaking down the meter maid, like you fucking caused. And so Circus's music is like a modern day Frank Zappa.
Yeah, yeah. He's
Frank
really
Zappa
highly experimental. Yeah,
highly,
yeah.
And
highly.
It's not, and it doesn't really focus on like lush production. It's more very raw.
Yeah.
Because it all comes from like 8-track world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Worlds. Is he still recording?
No, like I said, man, we the LAJ, they found Circus. He was kind of out there, man.
Where did they find?
They caught him like he was homeless in the street, and they picked him up, bro, and they put him back with his grandma, and he was like, we're like, yo, we're doing a reunion, bro. We just want you, even if you don't perform, like we just want you to come be with the family.
Yeah,
bro,
yeah,
be
yeah.
With everybody that come kick it, and so I from what I know, LAJ's giving him the set and been like, dude, come on, bro, you got this. And he was like, at first he was like, yeah, man, it's been so long, you know, because Circus. You ever been down the YouTube rabbit hole where it's like,
oh yeah, many nights. Yeah,
where it's like, let's say it's 5 a.m. and you're like on YouTube looking at the darkest shit.
Yeah,
you've ever seen.
Yeah,
and you know how you're like, okay, I can't take this anymore.
Yeah,
he never stops, bro. Like it doesn't for him. He's not. It doesn't. He doesn't ever say, okay, this is too much, bro. Like this,
he just keeps watching.
I mean, I'm just saying. Like for me, the deeper I do that, I go down YouTube K holes.
Mm-hmm.
I take a lot of DMT, bro. I'm a DMT person.
Well, you've done that?
Oh, dude, a lot.
I want to hear about that story. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to hear about the DMT.
I go deep into mm-hmm. all that stuff, but
yeah.
At the end of the night, at some point, I'm like, I can't take this anymore. I like my just leave it alone, bro. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, we're getting into Andrea Chrome and all this, you know, all this getting into weird shit, fool. Like, it's like, you know, you're at the end of the rope when it's like Pizzagate and all this fucking whack shit. You're like, I can't even get to this. I don't want to hear about this death. And so fucking, you know, circus is just a dude that for him, he challenged. For him, he like takes, absorbs all that and never stops, you know. So sometimes that kind of, when you have all this acquired knowledge, bro, it's too much, man. Like, you know that this
overloaded,
world,
like in his
brain. You know that this world right here is just, this is a pit stop, bro. There's
other
places to go.
For sure,
you know,
dude. That's for real.
The DM, dude, taking a
DMT, like when'd you do that? Yeah, when'd you do that?
I took it 3 or 4 years ago at first, and then recently I've taken it.
Ayahuasca?
No, just straight DMT.
Where'd you get it?
I got a homie that blessed me with it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and this homie, what's up to Shadow Hand Collective and what's up to Sky, all my people. My homie that blessed me with it, he actually gave me like a fair amount where I could kind of test it and not have, you know, I've been blessed with it where like, here's a portion, you know, but I was blessed with something, let's say like 12 portions. So then I kind of, for myself, I started taking it once a day to see like what I can take, you know, and I had a couple of breakthroughs, man, what they call breakthroughs that were amazing.
Like, yeah, I want to hear about that.
Oh,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you about the breakthrough.
Yeah, yeah. How long does it last?
10 minutes.
Okay.
It never lasts anything more than 10
minutes.
And
then your mind goes somewhere like...
What happens... I'll give you two examples.
Yeah.
The usual DMT, the usual trip, you hit it. You're supposed to hit it 3 times, but you hit it and you start...
You smoke it?
Oh, I smoke it. Yeah, you put it over some bud and you smoke it.
Yeah,
it looks,
yeah.
Oh, dude, it's chemically, and it looks kind of like crackish, bro.
Yeah,
I don't
fuck with it.
It looks like, it's like that off-white. It looks like crack. It's not nothing to be proud of looking-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But you take it and it's like, it's very, I explain it to all my friends is when you have a breakthrough, it's like hitting a slot machine. Like if you won $100,000 on a slot machine,
but it's
like a spiritual slot machine. So it's like hitting a spiritual slot machine. But it's like, bling, 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 like all the colors and all that. Dude, it literally.
Wait, you see it or is it in your mind?
You close your eyes and lean back and then you're like, you're in blackness. And then it's all this parade of color and sensation that I've never. Dude, you see that and you're like, what am I doing here, bro? Like this room that I'm entering right here, like when you go through those 5 or 10 minutes of a DMT trip, you enter into another place. So then... when you come back home, when you come back and snap out of it 10 minutes later, you're like, how do I get that? You know, like, I want to get back there because, you know, it's just another portal. And you go to another portal and it's beautiful. Like, all this beauty is shown to you, all this colors and textures that you can't even believe.
Jeez.
And then it kind of goes away. It just lasts about 5-10 minutes for me.
Yeah.
And then it just, you literally snap. You can feel that. You're like, oh, it's over. It's like you're on a ride and you're like, it's going away. And then you just wake up and you're like, oh, it's over. But they're like, it was awesome. And then you can't really take more. If you try to abuse it, it'll tell you not to. It tells you like if I took it and had a great experience and 15 minutes later I try to take it again, nothing will happen. I could take it 3 more times. It's a waste. It's just like, no. Oh,
yeah. I've heard stories. Do you have an alien guide?
I'm not one of those people that have seen the little green creatures. People say they see these creatures, these like little gremlins that show them stuff. I get shown the stuff. I don't believe that I see the creatures. But I get shown, man. It's like, dude, it's like a slow spaceship in front of you of like colors. And then if you like, I'll give you an example, man. There's like this beautiful color spectrum, right? So if in my mind I say to myself, dude, that blue and red is so nice. If I say that to myself, it'll switch it away. It'll take it away from me. Now everything's black and gray for a few seconds. Well, it's like the questioning. For me, it teaches. This is my first experiences were this. Something beautiful comes out, right? Like this, like something beautiful. So then your mind wants to be like, that's a beautiful, what is it? And by the time you're like saying, what is it? It already took that away and it showed you something else. And then you're like, what? And then if after like, what, it just tells you, shut the fuck up and just watch it.
Whoa.
And then, so it tells you like,
so it has, shut up. It has a consciousness?
Dude, for me, it's told me not to abuse it. Like I've taken it and let's say an hour later, I'm like, fuck, I want to take another hit.
Yeah.
Nope. It was like, you'd be like, you're like, damn, I wasted a whole bowl of that for nothing because it won't bring you back. You have to take, in fact, when I was taking it every day for like 4 days, it told me to chill the fuck out.
Wow,
you know what I mean? It told me it's a lot of serotonin being released. And if you release too much serotonin, like if you take it for, if I, for me, taking it 4 days in a row, you know, that's a lot of serotonin. It changes your chemical vibe.
Wow. Because,
you know, we release serotonin when we jack off, right? You know, when we like masturbate.
Yeah.
So then, dude, as a human, I don't know about, I'm not trying to be gross and shit, but if an average man masturbates once or twice and then you're trying to take DMT, it's a lot of serotonin, bro, like release and shit. So you got, so it literally will tell you like, no, no more.
It's so, it's, so if you,
you should have told me, bro, I would have brought you some.
I don't do any of that. I'm just intrigued by it.
I should have brought you some.
Well, I mean, Bryce, would you try it?
I think George and I have some. We'll get around.
Yeah, there you go. See, it's a beautiful thing, man. There you go.
You guys got some? Oh wow!
It's not scary. It's not scary at all. Like
short. I like that.
It's super short, man, and it's not. Let me tell you,
5 minutes, 10 minutes,
10 minutes tops. And I'm gonna tell you on everything I love. I feel no brain degeneration. Like, I've taken it and fucking then 2 hours later performed for an hour and pulled, you know, intricate rhymes out of my head.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like there's any brain degeneration. I feel that once you take it and you go, you have a really great experience, then you're going to have this burden of being like, not that you want to keep going back to that place, but you're going to have this burden of like, what the fuck was that? What the fuck is this then? What is all this life of jobs and debts and...
Oh, so you question
energy.
This reality?
I don't question it because I'm in it.
But coming from a DMT.
Well, when you go to something, when you see something, when you are shown what I would consider a chamber or a universe or something that's so, I mean, it's like you're never in that world with your friends or nothing. It's just you.
So it's a personal thing.
Yeah. So it's like when you see something like that, then you come back and you're like, what am I tripping on this phone bill for? Or what am I tripping on this for? You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot more going on.
It's therapeutic. It's not a bad thing.
Oh, man. It's like what they call breakthroughs. I'm telling you, I hit it like 3 or 4 times, and I was like, oh, man, it's amazing. And then when I had the breakthrough, I was like, oh, the breakthrough's way deeper than, like, what I thought I was already there. It's like, no, there's another, the break.
So it's like a rabbit hole. You, like, go deep?
Yeah, yeah. When you really hit that breakthrough, it hits you so quick. But it's like, it just goes, and you just like close your eyes, lay back, and then just do automatic big smile for, you don't stop smiling for.
So you're just alone, you're where you lay on your bed.
You don't move, you're not wilding out.
Yeah.
You're not talking to nobody. You just.
So it's good to do it alone, like you're just.
I live alone, so yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't like the way dabbing looks because it looks like you're hitting the crack pipe. You know what I mean? With the torch. So like, when it comes to dabbing or something like that, I'm not into even doing that in public because I don't even, just psychologically as a 40-year-old, you like, I don't want to touch this torch.
Right. So
to me, like, even with DMT, because it's white and powdery and it's kind of like, it looks like heroin, you know, it looks crazy, bad shit. Like it's something else deeper, which it ain't, but it looks deeper. So, you know, it's something to do privately because it's not something to I'm not trying to stand up as an activist for it. I'm just saying that my experience with it is pretty positive and it kind of has me changing my view on certain things. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting, man.
You got to try it, bro.
What's different about the breakthrough? Was there anything different?
No, it was
good
super
question,
heightened.
Man.
It was, I mean, it was like, like I said, if on the not breakthrough highs, I'm seeing this like, oh man, look at those beautiful colors, look at all that them patterns, and I'm seeing the same shit, but you know that it just intensifies.
It's like pretty rad if you don't know.
Oh man, it's like it speeds up a little bit, but then it hits way hard. You just feel it, dude. You feel like,
you feel it in your soul.
You feel it in your soul, man. You're like, oh, whoa, damn, because it's not a feeling that it's similar. In a way, in the head of that quick 10 seconds you feel when you bust a nut or whatever.
Yeah.
So it has a little bit of euphoria like that, like if you're busting a nut, I guess. And that's obviously, for most people, one of the best feelings ever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of got that feeling, but it doesn't really stay. It's not sexual.
Right.
But it's just euphoric like that.
Wow. So amazing, dude.
Dude, it reminds me of kind of like if you bust a nut. I've sat at the house like, is there a way to, I've sat at the house, I need some assistance though, I need like a lady to help me. I was just like, is there a way to like hit it and come at the same, like I was trying to combine the swords and shit.
Yeah.
I mean, is there a way to, but I need some assistance, bro. These are thoughts I have by myself. Wow. It doesn't, it doesn't work to do it by yourself.
That's what's up. So you live by yourself right now?
Yeah, I live in San Bernardino, But I grew up in the, you know, man, I grew up on La Brea, man.
I remember driving down there.
You know, I used to live,
The house. Yeah.
I lived there up until 2 years ago after what happened to me with the leg amputation.
Yeah, like, is it cool to bring that up, man? Like as far as what you went through, man? Because, like the community was, like, on alert and everything.
For
you know,
those people
you,
that don't
you got
know.
A lot of support.
Oh, man.
Yeah, support. So, I mean, what was it like going through that? I didn't want to.
Support was incredible, man. That support was the most beautiful thing ever, man. Yeah. No, a couple years ago, I was slipping into a coma. I was, like, an undiagnosed diabetic. Dude, I didn't take care of myself for shit. Dude, I would drink a gallon. I would drink a 2 liter of Coca-Cola a day. I was a notorious sweet tooth, dude. I eat a whole cheesecake. I'm a fucking fat ass, bro. And I was addicted to sugar. And so I started falling the fuck off, dude. I was slipping into a coma. I went to the hospital.
Oh, man.
And they had to, in my right foot, my foot was so far gone. I had gangrene. And they were like, we got to cut. They were trying to save my foot, but they're like, we got to cut your leg off, bro, because if that gangrene gets in your bloodstream, you're dead.
Damn,
so
dude.
I was like, cut it. And so they fucking, I was amputated under the right knee, whatever.
Damn, dude.
Oh, it was crazy, bro.
Yeah.
But it was insane. But you know what, man? The hospital, the energy that I got from so many people,
I
actually healed faster than, they cut my leg off April 26th and August 13th, I was walking on a prosthetic.
Wow,
you know what I mean? Like, I was, the energy was so out of control. The people's will and the people's prayers and my family and everything.
Yeah,
I healed faster than I should have.
Wow.
They kicked me out of rehab, dude. I went to a rehab facility to heal, and in a week, they kicked me out. They were like,
You're good.
I was like hitting old people with beach balls, you know, playing volleyball and shit. I was like,
Yeah.
I was so determined. Man, to get
what
the
a blessing,
fuck out of
man.
There. Yeah, dude.
Because I mean, what does that do to someone? Like as far as like
I mean,
coming,
I mean,
out
they,
the back end
they
of that.
Used to, I mean, they used to bring me. They were like, when I was in the hospital, they was bringing like the clergy over to talk to me, like if I was gonna be depressed, and dude,
you probably did some music, right?
Man, the hospital was so cracking. My hospital was so cracking. I had 8 to 30 guests a day in my hospital. They had to, and then to all the people at Arrowhead Medical, man, like, they told me that they'd never seen a man receive so many flowers. Like, dude, my room smelled like flowers so much that it healed me because the flower smell was better than the smell of death, you know? And I would get so many flowers and balloons that every day we would basically give the flowers and balloons to other rooms. So the
That's
whole hall
crazy,
smelled
dude.
Like we were lacing all the other rooms with flowers.
Wow,
and everybody came to visit me. People donated. At one point I had like 30 G's in a GoFundMe, man. People like Immortal Technique and Necro and Slug and all the rappers, bro, all the DJs, Newmark, J5, Redmatic, Visionaries. Everybody like helped and all the positive energy made me heal faster. So I never had a chance to be depressed.
Man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not a... I'm an emo dude when it comes to my songwriting, and I'm depressed about the world that we live in. But me personally, I don't have any plans to die. I love myself.
Yeah,
and I love...
Yeah.
So sometimes my writings get... People are like, you're okay? Like, and I'm like, I'm fine. I'm just writing. I'm a poet.
Yeah.
So I'm writing dark shit, but I'm okay. I'm not going to die. So sometimes people on the internet, they take my writings a little too seriously.
Too
but
literal,
I'm just trying
yeah.
to be artistic. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to be a content creator. You know
that's
what I mean?
What's up. Yeah.
But sometimes my shit is a little too...
Well, that's a blessing because you could create more, you know, you have more time to create.
That's what's important, man.
I mean, look, I'm realizing that now.
Look at your shows. I was looking at your page,
I'm tripping.
Bro.
Yeah.
Think about from when you started.
Dude,
how many shows you got in the can? Dude, 64 beautiful moments with
dude.
With
I was people. Working at Coffee Bean, dude.
No, but
you know
what
I'm saying
is,
like,
though, think about the catalog that you're creating, bro.
Yeah,
like you know what I'm saying, like the guests that you have, like all of the collective energy. You know what I mean? That's happening, like. That shit means a lot.
Well, it's not about me. It's about cats like you, cats like Satch, Eli, Mestizo.
But it's about the this brother right here has to do this. Like,
oh, this guy
is the reason that it's happening.
He's a good dude right here.
And you're the reason it's happening. Yeah. But you know what I mean? So it's like, it's a blessing.
Well, it's not about me, like I said, Alex. Yeah. It's about a platform. I just show up. Cats come over. The homies come over. We talk. I want to promote their stuff to the fullest. Yeah, I want to make people aware and like educate them on like cats like you. Yeah. Cats like...
But it's beautiful that you're creating content for your legacy. Because that's, you know what I mean? Like, we live in a world where, like, nobody gives a fuck about what's on TV. Everything's like, what is the new cool shit that I need to see that's going to be in my shit?
Right.
As long as we're continuing the oral tradition of talking about things that have matter and have worth to us, then we're documenting history. So we're all playing our part. What you're doing is creating digital books. You know what I'm saying?
What do you think about that, Bryce? you agree with that? I like that. Yeah, digital books.
Yeah. That's what they are, dude. They're digital books, and you're creating a library for like-minded people. Like, we can't worry about trying to please children that right now we don't, between what we want to give them and what they want to receive, we're not even on the same universe. So you to the fullest celebrate all the things that we care about to the fullest so that history, the people that are part of it can constantly look at it. And as the future comes, people, you know, these kids that don't know can, dude, it only takes one episode of your show to catch somebody to watch all 60. That's the one thing I learned with my podcast and like the things I do where somebody's always like, dude, I didn't even get into you until episode 60. And then now I can go back and peep shit. You know what I mean?
So, hey, where could you know? Cats check out the
Tumex, a podcast called the Tumex Hologram Podcast.
Oh, that's
dope. It's on platformcollection.com.
All right, check that out. So say that again, the link.
The Tumex Hologram Podcast.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, remember they did a Tupac hologram?
Yeah.
Like, Tumex Hologram, so that's a joke there. But it's on platformcollection.com.
Okay, cool.
And a lot of homies, Noah James, Curtis King, a bunch of cats have a cookbook with Merce.
Yeah. There.
So I have and there's a bunch of podcasts on there. I've interviewed people. Most of them are talking, but then we did a stint on K-Day, on 93.5 K-Day. Last year and the year before, I had two stints on K-Day. One was 27 weeks where I got to produce 27 radio shows. Wow, 1 hour shows where I played nothing but underground.
And then
last year we did it again, but it was called Water the Plants Radio. We did 10. So I've had my little stints on K-Day where I get to play underground.
That's what's up.
So there's a bunch of shit to look out for, man. You know, so if you want a pod, like I've got, who knows that I've been doing it because of Platform Collection. Yeah, brother, I've got.
Yeah. What about I brought this up to Eli. I was like, you should do a Living Legends podcast. What about a Shapes podcast?
The hardest thing is just to get everybody together there. Because talking about a bunch of 40-year-old men with wives and bills. Yeah. And everybody's got, you know, when you're young, I mean, this, you know, think about it when you kicked it with your brother or when you kicked it. Even when you kicked it with your boys on tour, you said you had that band in your tour.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you don't get to see everybody every day.
Yeah.
Everybody, some people like are more busy. Some people And so, you know, that time is so golden that it's best to preserve it and document it because it really matters to who it matters to. And that's the one thing. We're worried about the world connecting with us. Just make it for the people that it matters to because those are the people that are going to be appreciative.
Wow, that's so deep, man. All right, how we doing on time, man?
Yeah,
damn, we're over an hour, dude. Let's.
Oh, yeah, dude, I talk a lot. Bro.
No, this is good. I mean, are you feeling good about the episode and everything?
Oh, man, I'm happy to be here, man. I'm super hyped.
Well, now's the time. I wanna promote everything. I wanna like as far as your outlets. Like, where can cats like check out your music?
Oh yeah, yeah. Like I said, pretty soon in a couple weeks, I'm bowing down to the streaming game. So I'll be on all the streaming service. I'm gonna put all of my 23 records,
all
except the Visionary ones, because that one
is on the label.
It's on the label, But other than the Visionary records, I'm still putting up 20 something albums up.
And where could cats listen to it?
Tumex.bandcamp. I know Bandcamp sounds old, but
I'm on Bandcamp.
Tumex.bandcamp.
Yeah, dude.
All my music is there, and the thing I like about Bandcamp is that when you purchase the music on Bandcamp, that should go straight into my PayPal.
Yep. Card. Yeah. So I kind of like it. You get the notice, the email. Yep.
So I like it, you know.
So
23.
Damn, dude.
We've got music with Linkin Park, man. We got music with fucking some the KRS-One, man. We got music with Atmosphere. We got music, great music with Evidence, Madlib. I mean, anything I'm in the hip hop universe, Dilated. So check out my stuff, man. Yeah.
What kind of, on a side note, what kind of gear are you, what are you recording now? Like, what kind of gear are you using nowadays?
If I'm in LA, I'm at the studio that, the Pro Tools studio that Dizky has.
Mm-hmm.
But I record in San Bernardino with my boy Sully. He's got Pro Tools.
He's constantly
updating Pro Tools. He's got a Mackie board. I mean, he keeps it old school.
Yeah.
This shit isn't necessarily even on a laptop.
Yeah.
He keeps it kind of like, he's got,
raw.
He's a recording arts, graduate.
That's what's up.
He got a degree in recording arts. So
hell yeah.
I've always learned that you work best. It's like the better the people are at what at every component of what you're doing is the best, dude. So like to me, like I trust the fuck out of my producers. Mm-hmm. I trust the fuck out of my beat makers. I trust the fuck out of my videographers. You know what I mean? I'd be like, you do you, dude. Like you only as good as the people that you're surrounded with.
Right.
So I work with my boy Sully and Dizky. Those are my two little studios.
Shout out to Dizky.
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah.
I hit him up earlier.
Yeah. Oh, what about your Instagram, dude?
Oh yeah, my Instagram is 2MexOMD. 2Mex, 2MEX, and OMD.
Yeah.
Of Mexican descent.
That's what's up. Yeah. You got a show, though? You got a show coming up, too?
Yeah, that's what I did.
Let's talk about that.
Oh, yeah, I'll talk about
that.
On July 28th, we just spoke about the Shapeshifters and the Mexican Descent,
mm-hmm,
which are two of my old bands.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on July 28th, Saturday night in Pomona, California, we're having an all-ages show at the world-famous Glass House, which is
We did a show there. We did a festival there. Monchi did a festival. Yeah, we did a show there.
Dope venue. It's a classic punk rock and hip-hop venue. That venue means a lot to the Shapes and of Mexican descent, because throughout the 90s and the early 2000s, we played there. And we've had a lot of great moments there.
Yeah.
So I wanted that venue because I wanted a real venue. I want, like, you know, it's a real venue, bro.
The sound system, the security,
everything's.
It's big, dude. Yeah, that room's
that's
big.
That's what we're trying to promote. We're trying to pack 800 people in there, man. So it's a Filiano from Long Beach, California. My boy Filiano, that was from Disciples of the Sick. Incredible talent.
Mm-hmm.
He's the opening act. Then of Mexican descent, Cholo Lancinco and myself with the full band. We're going to be performing.
Who's the band?
Cholo Lancinco had this incredible band. Yeah, oh,
you know, be
descent.
A dope collab, you and Chicano Batman.
Dude, that would be sick. I got to do one song. You ever heard of that Music Tastes Good Festival?
No, it's in Long Beach.
It's in Long Beach. 2 years ago, I'm playing it this year too. But 2 years ago, I got to rock a jam with my boy Rudy Deonda, and the lead singer of Chicano Batman played on the song.
Dude, they're getting big,
they're
bro.
They're dope, man. They're bad.
Yeah, no, they're
bad. The dude that made that dope video, one of their breakout videos. He just hit me and was like, yo, I made this video for Chicano Batman. Like, let's make a video. So
that's dope.
I'm going to work on videos, man. But, Mexican Descent with a full band for an hour.
Check that out. Get your tickets, man. Where can they get the tickets?
Ticketfly. Just go to ticketfly.com, and they're only $20.
Say the date again?
July 28th, Pomona, California. The world-famous Glass House, all ages on a Saturday night.
That's what's up.
7 p.m. to 12, maybe.
Damn.
The headlining group, you know, on top of that, besides the Shapeshifters reunion and a Mexican descent, the headlining artist is Sick Jackin from Psycho Realm.
Oh, he's
so
I he's
had to get, we had to like.
Doesn't he have a thing with Everlast?
Yeah, him and Divine Styler. War Porn.
Yeah, with Divine Styler. Hey, they're still doing it, man.
Yeah, bro. Let me tell you something. Just because commercial radio and the whatever is considered to be cracking right now isn't our scene, it doesn't mean that there's not people all over the world that live for us.
Shout out to Everlast, dude. I used to bump War House of Porn. Pain, dude. Shout out to Divine Styler, man. Not a lot of people know about that dude.
Oh, dude.
At all. You know what
his
I mean?
His first album, Word Power.
He had an album with the blue cover. Right?
That was the second one.
Spiraling, I had that one. Yeah, it was like really. It looked weird.
That was a weird one, right? Well, all of his shit is weird.
Yeah.
But his first album, he was like, He had a song called "Ain't Saying Nothing." You ever hear that?
I don't know about that. I just remember that album. I'm like, I bought it at a warehouse. I'm
That was the second weird. Deeper Rock. That was the ambient album.
Yeah.
That was Spiraling Walls.
I love all that, man. Jungle Brothers. I like all that stuff. Yeah.
Divine Styler was dope, man. He had a song called "Ain't Saying Nothing." That was amazing, bro. So
amazing,
so,
dude.
So yeah, man. So July 28th, Sick Jackin', Psycho Realm.
That's what's up. Shout out to Sick Jackin'. Yeah, man. Hell yeah.
Shapeshifters of Mexican Descent.
That's what's up,
and
man.
And it's being brought to you by me and my Bandcamp. Yeah. And a couple friends. This weed company called Transcend.
Shout out to Transcend, this
chick Cindy, man.
Mm-hmm.
CS Entertainment. Yo, mm-hmm. I got some people behind me trying to make it crack.
That's what's up, man.
And it's going to be a dope.
Dude, I'm just happy you're still doing your thing and you're healthy now, man.
Yeah, and you're doing your thing. We're all dying.
It makes me happy, yeah.
But, you know, I'm just happy to be here and still be making music, man.
Hell yeah, I got to do a couple. Do we get all his.
Yeah,
can we plug everything?
I'm good, bro.
You good?
Super plugged.
Okay,
in.
I got to plug some stuff. Yep. And we have a sponsor thing we have to do, right? So shout out to the new Patreon. I do have a Patreon, guys. So if you like the show, support the Patreon. We lose some, we gain some, but it's what is that? Patreon.com/StevieWeeby. Shout out to the new Patreons, Jenny McGee. And Cameron Ira.
Jenny.
Yeah. Check out my Bandcamp, Stevie Weeby Bandcamp. I'm working on a new album too.
Yeah.
Because of Eli, No Can, and then I'm getting inspired. They're all dropping albums. I'm like, I want to start working on some new stuff too.
Oh, yeah, No Can in here, huh?
Yeah. So, I'm starting slowly. It's marinating. So look out for that in the future. It's going to take me a while. Follow the Two Bunnies Instagram. Monchi, the band, we're looking for some more shows. So if you're a booking agent, you know, we still want to do more shows with my band, Monchi. So we're looking for a manager/booking agent. If you guys want to book us, just holler at us. Wild Clothing is our new sponsor. I'm wearing this. What do you think about this shirt, man? WYLD, Wild Clothing, okay? And this is their website. I got to shout them out because they're showing love.
Hell yeah.
Go to www.wyldcc.com. Okay, so if you want to check them out, which you should, use the discount code StevieWeeby and you get $15. Off the order, right? Is there anything else? Wild, WYLD. They got cool designs, cool outdoor gear, right? They got females, kids gear. Like, what else do they have? They have tons of stuff. Wild Clothing, WYLDCC.com, okay? And so we're, that's our sponsor. And is there something that I missed? I haven't checked the P.O. box out, but if you want to send something to the Stevie Weeby Show, 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. We have an Amazon.com thing going on. I haven't really checked it in a while. I mean, we got to work on that, huh, Bryce? Amazon.com/shop/Stevie Weeby. So all the products that I endorse, make sure you go to that and then you purchase the items. Yeah. And then we're working on the website, right? As far as getting all the music on there. Yeah, so we're close to a new music website, right?
Hang on, folks.
So now with that, dude, mad love, brother.
Thank you for having me, man. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Oh, one last. I'll talk to you after, though. But I want to get either Red or we haven't had a lot of DJs on here.
Yeah, you should, man.
Or if you know anyone else you want to recommend that you think would want to.
That'd be dope.
Yeah, dude. Like if they want to, if they want to come,
start bringing all the underground G's up in here.
Yeah,
man.
I want all of them.
We're gonna lace them up, man.
Yeah.
Can I give a couple shout outs?
Yeah. Dude, do it now.
I've been living in Dino, but I had to stop in L.A., man. I stopped by my people at Hitman Coffee Shop. What up, Hitman Coffee Shop and Apollonia's Pizza on La Brea and Wilshire.
Okay.
They lace me. Look at my IG. They lace me.
They got slices or what?
Oh, man. Okay. Look at my IG is out of control.
Yeah, it looked good. No, dude, I saw you saw ate that? There like 2 hours ago. Yeah.
I was like, yo, if I'm coming to the Stevie Weeby show,
they had
pizza
that cheese,
spot.
That white, it looked like egg.
Oh, dude, it was a cheese, but it was so like,
flavorful. Yeah.
That's some Bobby Flay shit.
Okay.
Fire.
And any other shout outs?
Not
to the shapes?
To you, man. Just to you. Yeah. What's up to everybody? Like I said,
Dude, support this man's music, man. Buy all 23 albums on Bandcamp. I mean it.
Hey, let me break it down. Hey, I'm gonna break it down.
Yeah, yeah.
If you can get one, my homie broke it down for me. He's like, dude, if you can get 1,000 people to buy all 23 of your albums, it's $250,000 just straight. Think about it.
So, dude,
I have more than 1,000 fans, dude. So I was like, all right, man, I'm going to just get on my
fans. Let's put it out in the universe, man. So if you're watching the Stevie Weeby show,
be
right?
Be one of the 1,000.
On his Bandcamp.
Take me to the next level.
Buy all of his damn albums. How much is an album?
$10, you know what I mean?
You got $10, yo, right?
Let me break it down. If you have a friend that has illegal credit cards, if you have people that have all those illegal credit cards, do me a favor, go to my shit, buy all my shit, but then to cover your tracks, buy a bunch of popular bullshit too.
Yeah.
So run them credit cards, kids. If you have those fucking bootleg credit cards, I'm just talking out there because I had a dude one time send me 11 Visas with my name on them. This fool sent me 11 one day in the mail. I just opened it. I had 11 different visas. I had to cut them up though, bro.
I'm
saying like this fool had like 11 visas. Yeah.
I noticed on your on the site on your social. Don't you have another thing where if you want to collab with you, like how do they reach you? Are you doing collaborations?
I do mad songs for people.
Yeah.
I ghostwrite for some artists that are out here.
Yeah. Yep.
I do this thing called Tumix Custom Songs, where if you want to make a song, if you're not musically inclined, and you want to make a song for like your girlfriend, your wife, your kids, yourself, your business, I can make a song for you. I'm a commercial artist, so I can make a song for like your wife for Valentine's Day or for Christmas. I do that a lot, dude.
I know,
hey,
man.
There's mad
I know.
Kids born with my name because of this shit. So I make motherfuckers. I'm like the wedding singer.
How do they contact you? Like,
hit me on my IG. That's my favorite spot.
So if you want something like that, direct message this man and he'll work out a deal with you. Yeah,
TuMaxOMD on IG.
Yeah, yeah.
Or hit me. You could just email me TuMax at Gmail. Mm-hmm. Like TuMax 3 times.
That's
at
what's
Gmail.
Up, man. Thanks again, man.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate it.
It's a blessing.
Hey, man.
Yeah, man.
Support Stevie Weeby.
Yeah, just, you know, we're just trying to keep it alive. That's all, you know.
Blow it up, man.
Yeah.
Blow it up.
With that being said, it's time for Lil Ray. Wow.
All right, we can't do Lil Ray. We're not doing Lil Ray. Hey, I'm going to give you this mic. We're not doing Lil Ray this week, but I'm going to have TuMax rap a little bit over a break that I looped, okay? All right.
Man, I get to rap and I got a record. And I got a record that I want you to check it. Yo, I'ma break it down. Yo, all we do is videotape our own depression, filter out the wrinkles every day and self-judgment. I've my rap heroes all sliding in my girl's DMs or at the gym as they await for a moment to safely come out the closet. So-called legends of the fall out of favor with what the devil. Seems the demon's popular, employing what was once used as lame to blow up for the fame, throw the heart and the love out the game. It's the Molly, it's the Xanax, the panic, the lack of anarchy. The internet's got you looking like some whack mannequins. It's a hall of mirror of the era, suicide only avoided by the arrows of my arrow. The truth in all lost honesty is really just that narrow. The devil comes running every time his name is summoned. I grew up on Ray Charles, you grew up on Ray Strumming. I just come from a place where we were really saying something. And hunted children on safari. Future sorry, so far as I can see. That's why I'll be rolling one with my man, Stevie Weeby. And we be all up like some real OGs be. Stevie Weeby, Weeby, Weeby.
Yeah, that was just, I just looped that up real quick.
That was perfect.
Oh, that's tight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Thank you, bro.
Yeah, man. That was cool.
Yeah. Cool.
Did you got that?
Got it.
You got the ball. You got the ball.